Dave and Dejanovic, your morning companions for talk, analysis, and key perspectives on Utah's biggest stories on KSL News Radio.
We are going to return to our live coverage of the Baltimore Bridge collapse in just a few moments, and we'll also be joined by a former dive team member of Utah Highway Patrol's dive team. I didn't realize that the Department of Public Safety does have this dive team. Major Jeff Nyberg will be joining us in just a few moments, and we're hoping that he can walk us through just the delicate situation that is going on right now in Baltimore after that major bridge collapse when a cargo ship crashed into it. And unfortunately, the timing was just horrible for these construction workers who were on that bridge just plugging potholes. They were working to just fix the road, and word got to the Maryland Department of Transportation. They were able to shut down the bridge to traffic through a Mayday alert from the cargo ship's captain. And all it looked like, you said, Dave, all the cars had gotten off the bridge, at least the commuter cars had gotten off the bridge, but perhaps those construction workers were not able, either they didn't get word or they weren't able to make it off the bridge in time.
And it's an eerie sight right now because the cargo ship is still in place. It is still underneath the bridge, and the bridge has collapsed over the bow of the ship, and it's just propped there.
Another story that we're going to talk about just for just a few minutes is something we're just getting more information on, thanks to some an incident report that's been posted about this Delta flight that took off on Sunday. It looks like departed Salt Lake International Airport Sunday on its way to Amsterdam, dropping an engine panel on departure. But unfortunately for the crew and the passengers on board that flight, it was heading to Amsterdam, they didn't turn around until they got to the Canadian border to come back and pick the thing up.
Yes, and from what we could see in the pictures we've seen, it was on the wings. So the engine on the wing, it was kind of on the outside. It looks like the panel was clearly off, and they found it on the runway. And once they located it, they realized, according to passengers on that plane, that they just didn't have enough fuel to get across.
Is that what was happening? They have 75 minutes into the flight when the crew was informed that they had lost this engine panel. And so they turn around and they come back and they land safely back at Salt Lake International about 2 hours and 45 minutes after departure. So obviously a very serious delay, but obviously the crew also felt it was a serious enough situation to turn around and hightail it back to Salt Lake City and put this thing back on the plane. But the aircraft, according to the report I'm reading, was still on the ground in Salt Lake City about 15 hours after landing. There's been, now this, my understanding is this was an Airbus.
Yes.
So different.
Because all the problems have been with Boeing.
Different from Boeing, but there is some new research out that says, thanks Boeing, because of Boeing and what's been going on with Boeing, half of Gen Zers, who is it? Is that my age group? Am I
no.
a Gen Zer? No, I'm
you're,
not that young.
You're Gen Xer. Just like me.
We're afraid to, well, half of Gen Zers, I don't know why they just
so
asked the Gen Zers.
It's Gen Z, Millennial, Gen Z, well, so 18, 25, somewhere around there.
Do you want to come and jump on the microphone, Caitlin? Caitlin's talking in my ear, and I didn't catch everything she was saying about this, so she's going to join us. Our producer's been doing a lot of research on this. Half of Gen Zers are afraid to fly after Boeing issues.
Now, remember, the Boeing issue was mid-flight, there was a panel on the airplane that ripped off, and it was kind of the size of an emergency door. That huge panel blows off. Fortunately, every passenger is still buckled at this point.
And nobody was sitting by that spot.
Oddly enough, no one is sitting right next to that.
Thank goodness.
And anyway, phones got sucked out as it depressurized the cabin immediately, but no no human, which is just amazing, got sucked out of that, and they were able to land safely. So, and we saw video of it. We saw video of this. People were recording this. So that has caused some fear. We know about the Boeing crashes as well at the past couple of years. So this is something that has caused Gen Z to be too nervous to fly.
So often during the show, I'm fortunate enough to have Caitlin Johnston, our producer, in our ear. I know she's in your ear from time to time too, Dave, but she just got in my ear and you were saying something that sounded really, really important.
It's
and I couldn't
context.
Catch it all.
Well,
so
there
put
was,
it in context for
there
us.
Was one study that I found when we were looking into this about Gen Z, and that was 50% are afraid of flying. And it also highlighted women as being in that, like 40%. I can't remember the exact number. It was a big study. But as I was looking into it, there were multiple articles that said flyers overall are just nervous about this, and they're turning to anxiety meds and meditation and just doing all these coping mechanisms just because, and changing their flights last minute. So outside of that study specifically to Gen Z, there's just, I think a lot of people are very afraid of this. And it was overwhelming how many articles I was reading about it. So.
And your research showed that it's a lot of women who are
Yeah, that's the same
this.
Study regarding the Gen Z said women as well. It was about 40-something percent.
So I've been in a pilot who flies planes every single day probably wouldn't call them close calls, but I've felt like I've been in a number of very harrowing situations, both on planes and in helicopters over the years. And I've talked about some of those on the show. And it's like, I don't want to become so crippled with anxiety. And I do suffer from anxiety. You know, I don't have a huge bout of it going on right now, but I had about 10 years of crippling anxiety that would just grab my rib cage and be there. It would happen during our show. I think sometimes I would tell you I have anxiety. You're like, you don't even know it, Deb. You don't even know it. So you just push through it. So I know I can succumb to these anxious concerns. And anxiety is always, it really is, in a nutshell, fear of the unknown. That's what it's based on, fear of the unknown. So I've had to kind of mentally walk myself through getting back on a helicopter after a couple of close calls I've had, a couple of them, I'd call them emergency landings, and also a couple of flights. I mean, one time we took off from the Salt Lake International Airport. I don't want the Salt Lake International Airport to come after me for this. This was many years ago. This was in the 90s. And there was a big poof of flames on the wing. I mean, it just poof. And it turns out, I think they said, oh, they're burning off extra fuel. Well, who feels good about that? You know, we've come back for different reasons as well, had to hightail it back to the airport. So sometimes we just draw the short straw. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, I've never had a close call. My dad lost an engine one time.
Oh, yeah.
They had to have an emergency landing. But I guess the way I look at it is, statistically speaking, air travel is the safest travel. We take far more risk getting in and behind our wheel, getting in our car every day.
So I'm going to say something. I hope it's not controversial when I say this at all. But I do what a lot of people are doing, according to your research here, Caitlin, and I turn to prayer. And I just put it in God's hands. I put it in God's hands. I'm like, look, this is going to end well. It's going to be a great flight. And so often, 99.9% of the time, because we don't report on the great, amazing landings that happen every single day in this world with airplanes.
I have a mantra that I do every time I take a flight, because I do get nervous without these Boeing issues. I just say in my head, I close my eyes, I say, safe flight, smooth flight. I say it as we take off, and then once we're in the air, I'm fine. It doesn't matter.
We once dropped so far over Mexico when I was flying down there for a news story back in 1994. That I've never forgotten that feeling of just, we were just free falling. I don't remember what plane we were flying on. It was a commercial aircraft. It was a big plane. And all of a sudden, it was like the skies opened up and the angels came down and they just grabbed the plane and just smoothed us out and all was fine. But I don't even want to know how far we dropped. But just remember, 99.999% of the time, things do end fine. But that's not to say that these incidents aren't a big deal. They do need to be investigated. The federal government has got to get to the bottom of what is going on with Boeing. We don't know all the specifics of what happened the other night at the Salt Lake International Airport involving that Delta flight, but
I'm certain authorities are going to figure it all out. And it sounds like that plane, when it did have to return on its journey to Amsterdam, when it got to the Canadian border and it flew back to Salt Lake City, that all ended well.